The following episode of Flash Talks Cash has been brought to you by Cane 5. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. This is Flash Talks Cash. It's a show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman. Say hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And let's not forget to say thanks and a hello to our executive producer, Jack Inslee.
He got a new title?
He got a promotion. New year, gave him a new title.
Congratulations,
executive producer.
Good, right?
Congratulations, Jack.
Thank you.
We gave you a promotion.
Is that just on air here? Is that just between us?
I don't know. We'll talk to the station owner and we'll see what we could do for him, okay? Today's show is tax prep. DIY, CPA, ESQ, H&R. We're going to explain it all to you. But before we do that, we want you to know that we are always broadcasting live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. If you can't catch us live, you can tune in, get every episode. It's archived on our website, or you can download a free podcast via iTunes and listen to us all the time, anytime. And during the show, we welcome callers. You can call us at... Andrew does
718-497-2128.
Wow, Andrew must have made a resolution.
I remembered it. Thanks for the quick flash.
Andrew must have made a resolution. I'm really happy to start the new year off on the right foot, Andrew. Or you can email us during the show, info@heritageradionetwork.com.
There you go.
Hey, Andrew, what time did you get here today?
I got here a little earlier. You know, I got here about 4 o'clock.
All right, boys.
What time did you show up?
All right, boys. You want to start, Jack?
Our guest was the first one here.
Let's talk about our guest.
We have the esteemed
Professor Laura Farrell from the Isle of Staten. And we have her private personal assistant and great friend of everybody's, Beth Gargiulo. She's not going to be talking. She's going to be lurking. But if she gets excited, she's welcome to speak.
I think we can get her to get on air there a little bit.
We'll try to get her to speak today. Because she says, you know, well, let me tell you something. There's a bunch of accountants in here. Laura and I started our accounting professions together. And Beth, who's a wonderful, the best hairdresser in America, has an accounting degree. A hairdresser with an accounting degree. So she knows her stuff here.
Wait, Beth, you're...
I do.
A hairdresser, or are you an accountant? Or do you do both? Is it like a full-service salon?
It is.
Get a little closer to the mic there, Beth.
It is, but I have the accounting on a back burner.
Okay.
So I do hair.
Okay.
She does hair. Mm-hmm. We do taxes. Laura and I have been friends for a very long time. Laura, say hi.
Hello.
Professor Laura Farrell. Lots of her know her as Professor Farrell from Staten Island. She's taught and teaches in many, many different colleges throughout the metropolitan area. And she's been a tax preparer for... Laura, I don't want to give away
years.
Your...
Oh, 30 years.
I think it's more, but she doesn't want to tell you how old she really is. So Laura and I and Andrew and Beth are going to talk today about who can do their own taxes, who needs help, what kind of help do you need, and we're going to talk about all that. And there's lots of experience in this room. There's a few tax returns, a few thousand tax returns among us in this room, right?
I don't know. Do we count our returns the same since we did them together?
Yeah, we count them together.
All right, so I guess it's not as many as we...
Okay, so today we're going to start. Laura's going to give us a little information. She's going to tell us that... she's going to start with telling us how she teaches the course and what kind of kids get it. How do you know a kid is getting taxes? Give us a little background on that.
I've been teaching taxes at the College of Staten Island for many years, and it's a required course for accounting majors. But not a lot of students come in and they're very intimidated by tax. So I start by telling them that it is, I break it down with the forms, but is essentially a theory course.
Well,
so
I have
it's
a question.
Not a tax prep
I don't
course.
Mean to interrupt. Why are they so intimidated by taxes?
Most people are intimidated by tax.
Oh.
Some people would rather see a dentist than see a tax form. They're afraid of taxes. They think the IRS is going to come and put them in jail.
That's right.
So they're very, very afraid of the IRS.
Of making a mistake and screwing up.
Yes, they're very afraid.
Got it. So then you start teaching the class and tell me, you know, the point of this show is to tell people when they could do it themselves versus when they have to reach out for help. So how does a student or a person, I mean, I've experienced doing this too, but you have more experience because you're at the very basic level. People come to me, they already know they need help. But people in your world, in the classroom, right, some of them are capable. And how do you know when a person's capable? What can you tell? What light bulbs go off or whatever?
Well, at their level, they're students and they'll have part-time jobs. They are a prime example of people who can do taxes themselves. They might have one W-2.
You mean do their own simple returns?
Do their own simple return. Right. Get the software and do it themselves. They'll have a W-2. They might have a 1099 from maybe a waiter, waitressing job, but not many expenses. So they're perfectly capable of doing themselves, and I encourage them to do it themselves. But once people start earning money and have deductions and need tax planning, that's the time I think they should see a professional.
Right. But there's a lot of people that go through life who basically only have a W-2. They might have a bank account, so they get interest income. Their 401k or the IRA accounts don't really need any tax work. So there's a lot of people out there that are capable of doing their basic tax
return.
There
are a lot, but if you listen to the ads for like the H&R Block and for the software, they make people feel that anyone can do their own taxes. In fact, that's what they say in a lot of the ads, that our software will ask you all the questions you need to know. You won't miss any deductions. And those, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I think there are many, many people who can do their own taxes.
Yes.
But not everyone.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Laura. I think that the software, first of all, first do-it-yourselves, very hard to do these days. Tax returns got pretty complicated. Even somebody with a basic W-2 won't automatically be taken over to the earned income credit, perhaps, because that's not an automatic, unless you know that you're qualified for an earned income credit, unless you read those books and the instructions. But if you're just doing the straight up form,
no, they prompt you for earned income taxes on a TurboTax.
Not on a 1040 EZ form, they won't.
On a they actually.
No, I'm talking about just doing a straight up pencil and paper form.
Oh, the pencil. Are you talking about the software?
No, the software's the next step. But I'm talking about a pencil and paper. Somebody who works as a laborer somewhere and makes $20,000 a year and has three kids, they're not necessarily, that pencil paper's not going
to
take you there.
Can we just tell everyone to, if you want to do your own taxes, at least get the software? Can we just put that out there?
Well, some people, the software won't help. Oh, if you want to do it yourself, yes, forego the pencil paper.
Yes,
you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think
it's like $30 for the TurboTax.
Well, I'll give you an example of that. Even in a simple return, if someone has tuition credit. Now, there's a credit or a deduction, and it depends on your tax bracket, which is better for you.
Right.
Pencil and paper is
will never get you there.
It'll never get you there.
It'll torture you.
No.
I'm sorry, you want to
say? No, what I was going to say is to get the software, that means they have to have a computer, and maybe they're not even...
Oh, that's another thing.
That's true. A computer is important, and somebody who's making $20,000 as a laborer may not have a computer on hand, but...
But you can go to the public library.
Library, I was just going
to
say
you
that.
You can go to the public library, but I don't know that you want to put your personal information in a public domain. But there is websites that give free tax software, like the IRS. You can actually do a tax return on the IRS.
Does New York State offer that as well? Or?
And then there's programs out there, the VITA programs, that will give free volunteer income tax, and they must use software in those programs. Laura, are you familiar with those?
Yes, I years ago, I was the person who oversaw the VITA program in college.
That's the Volunteer Income
Volunteer
Tax,
income tax
assistance program.
And we actually did them by hand at that time. That's how many years ago it was. It was
but you're not that old, right? That was when you were...
Are you really judging someone else right now?
Old. No.
You forgot to get here on
old.
Time, okay? Let's talk about that.
No, I'm not so old. Not so old.
Jack?
No, don't go there.
I'm sorry. So
we did them. We did them. The reason that I did them by hand is because with the students is I wanted them to know their way around a 1040.
Of course.
I feel that at the very introductory level, I want them to do simple returns by hand so that they're able to know their way around it and then graduate to the computer.
Of course.
Because I'm interested in teaching them more than I'm interested in giving someone a free tax return.
Exactly. No, and the education process area, I understand to learn and
learn
it teaches
concept.
You a lot more because you have to get into each line and how they work and stuff like that. Whereas if you just go right to the program, it does everything for you.
And then when you ask a person, why did you do this or how did it come out to, they're not going to give you the answer.
No,
the computer did that.
The line said to do it. Then that's
no, the computer did that. Okay. So now we just say, okay, the basic person who doesn't even have a computer at home needs to get help in some free forum.
Everyone knows someone with a computer.
Well, not there are some people who don't. So they got this free forms out there. IRS, VITA
programs. Worst comes to worst, there's someone who can.
But let's now go to the next level where the person is capable of doing their taxes. They're going to go buy the software. It's an inexpensive investment.
It's like $30.
$30 to $50, yes. Depending on what you buy, what your needs are. And you load it up. And there's a lot of people out there who have some sort of knowledge of taxes. They read all year long mm-hmm. what's coming around. And they have smart questions. They can do their returns on their own if their returns are basic. Basic being an average American having a home, have a couple of kids, maybe they have W-2s, and they have some maybe child credits.
Well, that's it. If they have a couple of kids, they want to make sure they get all the child credits yeah. that Correct. They can get. And another thing is, if someone may have a simple return, but they may live in Tottenville and work in Woodbridge.
Wait, you're not, what, Tottenville is
Staten
New York
Island.
State?
Island.
New York State. New York State.
The reason I said Tottenville and Woodbridge is because it's people, like 10
people
miles
who, people
apart.
In Japan who are listening right. to us don't okay. know where yeah. Tottenville and
if
Woodbridge
you live in
are.
One, right. If you live in one state and work in another state, that's another more complicated return.
Yes, because you have to.
But if you work and live in the state you live in,
yes.
and you maybe you have mortgage interest if you own a home, and that's
not that complicated.
It's not. It's very straightforward on that
Correct.
Schedule. On my seductions, it's pretty straightforward. You enter in the numbers, and it's pretty straightforward, especially if you're not getting earned income credits or stuff like that.
But another thing that they may not know is that, and then that it's a moot point now because it's not there this year. But for the past couple of years, if you did not itemize your deduction, you were able to still claim your real estate taxes. I don't know if people would know to do that if they did them themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a very simple return, but they'll have real estate taxes that they're able to deduct they weren't able to in the past. This year, the IRS is also doing away with the mortgage insurance premiums that they can't deduct.
Boy, it's a good thing we brought Laura here. I didn't know that,
Jesus.
Laura, I didn't know that because I don't know anybody who has real estate taxes and doesn't have a mortgage.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You got to be at least like 65 or 70.
Yeah.
There, right?
I actually had a few clients that
yeah, I guess
that.
It happens yeah. one or two people, but the average person usually has real estate taxes, has mortgage interest, and they qualify for mm-hmm. itemized deductions.
Yes.
Let's move on to, okay, it's a little too complicated for yourself. You're not capable. You're afraid. Who do you go to? Do you go to a non-CPA? Laura is an accountant, but not a CPA. We call her a tax preparer or an accountant. They call me a CPA, and beyond me is
what about
a,
me?
A
well,
lawyer.
Let me just clarify that. I am not a CPA, but I am not merely a tax preparer because I have a master's degree. I have a master's degree in accounting.
I said it's yes. a tax preparer and an accountant.
Well,
I said
some
that.
Tax preparers are.
Well, there's a whole range. There's a whole range. There are
I'm
CPAs
a tax
out there.
Professional.
There's yes. a CP. There are plenty of CPAs out there that don't know the first thing about a tax return. So let's not. Yes. Let's just use the general terms.
Tax professional.
Tax professional.
Okay. Tax okay. professional. Tax,
like that,
Laura likes
right.
that. Professor wants to be a tax professional. Okay. So professor. Let's talk about the people who now need your help, my help, or a lawyer's help. What kind of person needs...
I think we jumped over a large group of people there.
Yes.
What did we miss?
Well, there's freelancers.
No, we're going to talk. That's where that's when you need help.
What about, say, like a teacher? Like a teacher is a very simple return. But then sometimes they don't think to itemize their... teaching supplies and the employees. Like, should you
expenses.
Go to a tax preparer for
well,
that kind of thing?
Well, this is what she's going to talk about now. Laura's going to tell us who
like,
needs
is
to
that
go
worth
to
it? Is that worth it to get that extra $100 or $200 in itemized deductions to pay an accountant?
If you have the break-even point, there are many times I'll look at a return that was someone did themselves mm-hmm. or went to a tax preparer that didn't have a lot of experience right. and missed very simple deductions.
Right.
You mentioned a teacher. Mm-hmm. They can take, it has to go over the 2% floor.
Of course.
But there are classroom expenses, things that they
union
might not
dues.
Normally, union dues, they may not normally know to take.
But say, what is that? Say you get over that 2% floor. Say you have, say it's like an extra $200.
That's not going
to
be worth it.
I'm saying, what? At what point does a person know that it's worth it versus...
Well, if the fee is... Let's say the fee is $200.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that most of the time you'll save more than that in deductions
going to
a tax preparer. Yes.
Yeah.
That you'll get much more than the fee.
Okay.
I tend to agree. I have been through my years. People have said, I've done it myself. I don't really feel confident. Can you review it? And I look it over. There are some people who do it... bang up job, but the vast majority of people are way too conservative and miss too much stuff, and it's worth it to pay our fee. They get more back on their return, and it's not it's not prepared incorrectly. Mm-hmm. There are times when people overdo it, and you say, hold, slow down, buddy. You're going way too far. You're too aggressive. You don't have to. And they put it in the wrong place, and it's going to cause a problem.
Well, you brought a very good point where we said people are afraid. So rather than take any chances, they'll miss legitimate deductions. Uh-huh. I wish I had 10 cents for every time someone said to me, I don't want to go to jail.
Right. Okay, let's take a break for a minute, come back, and we'll wrap up this discussion. So we'll be right back.
It's like a three-part special.
Worried, you betcha. Discouraged, I don't know. Every time I see a 10-40, out of my pocket it goes. Oh, I hate taxes. I work hard for my money.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about tax prep. Do it yourself. Hire an attorney. Get a CPA. Hire a tax pro.
Who hires an attorney off the bat?
Oh, well, there are times when I have to pass my returns off to an attorney. And we'll talk just briefly about when that happens. But Laura's going to now talk a little bit more about the tax professionals, and then we'll go on to the other levels.
If you decide that you're in a position that you need to go to a tax professional, a lot of people will look at the ads, and a lot of these national firms, they'll feel that they'll get a better job done. That's not always the case. Many times these firms pay more money. That advertising is not free.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll end up paying more for a return than going to a tax professional.
It's true.
Many times someone will come to me that has gone to one of these national firms, and the fee is, let's say, $400. My fee for that same return most of the times is about $275.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily doing the best jobs.
Oh, no.
You say tax preparer. In some of these national firms, the only thing you need to do is take one course, and after you've taken that course, you're allowed to do returns. There is no national test that you have to take. Mm-hmm. Currently,
right.
You can be a butcher today and do taxes tomorrow.
That's
if you
right.
take one course.
And there's a lot of that going on. People, a lot
Not
of people.
There's anything
people
wrong
do,
with being a butcher.
No.
A lot of people do other work, and during tax season, they take up tax prep. It's a good, fast money. It's hard work to do a good job. And those national firms, frankly, most of those people are lousy at what they do. They learned taxes 6 weeks ago, and now they're out there doing your tax returns. And I agree with Laura, the fees they charge are way off the charts in relation to what they're doing. Oh, we got a caller on the phone. Let's see what he or she wants to talk about. Hello.
Hi. I have a... Thanks for doing this show. I think taxes are something that, I don't know, kind of freaks everybody out, so
yeah.
It's good to have some practical advice.
Good.
I was just wondering, say you do your taxes yourself, and, you know, you mess something up, and something, you know, comes along, and you get audited, you know, years later.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be less severe on you because maybe you were a beginner and made a mistake, or is there kind of no lenience if you mess up?
No leniency. But they're not as intense and as scary as you think they are. That's the whole persona that the IRS wants people to think, that they're going to come and steal your kids and put you out on the street. They're really not like that. You made a mistake, you go in and you say, yeah, I'm contrite. I made a mistake. And then they're going to say, okay, the bill is $500. You say, okay. And then they go away and they forgive you. And that's all it is. It's only about money. So
okay.
A mistake, everybody makes mistakes, including them. Sometimes they're wrong, too. And frankly, I would say if you got an audit letter, this is what I absolutely tell everybody. Whether you did the return yourself or you had a national firm do it or you had somebody else do it, make sure you have a tax pro represent you at an audit. The worst thing to do is to represent yourself at an audit.
I wouldn't represent myself in an audit. It's always better to have someone who is not so close to it, not
yeah.
emotionally connected
Some much,
to it.
Much more objective.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're
I really
welcome.
Appreciate the help.
Great. Thanks for calling. Okay, so now we got the guys who need to go for some help, and they can go to a national tax prep firm, which we don't really promote. But you can go to a good tax preparer or somebody.
Tax professional, please.
Tax professional. Sorry. Or then you may need to pull out the big guns and go to a CPA or go to a tax attorney. And, you know, those are for complex tax returns or returns that have many states or...
I have a question.
Sure.
Can you... Like, say you don't know what to do. Like, say it's a fairly simple return, but you want to be on the, like, cross your T's, dot your I's. Do you recommend going to an accountant, having someone do it, tax professional, accountant, CPA, whoever it is, and then, like, just following that tax return next year?
Use it as a guide.
Yeah, or go back to someone and...
Well, it depends on your level of confidence doing your own return. I think there's a big thing. I can't tell you how many people who used to do their own return, engineers who are very mathematical and organized, and they come to me and they say, you know, I can't do this anymore. It's been taking me two weeks to do this every year. They bring it in. I get it done and rather quick, and they pick it up, and a couple of days later, their wife will call me and say, I can't thank you enough for taking this burden out of our marriage. The point is, it depends on your level of confidence. They were doing it themselves for 20 years. Then, tax laws change every year. So if you use a guide from last year and you don't want to incorporate the new laws, you could be doing yourself a disservice. Well,
but like, wouldn't the tax software, if it's a fairly simple return, but like you have some things that you think you can take advantage of.
Yes.
Like if you have the return from last year, is it going to change that drastically year over year, or can you then use...
Depends. But the tax software should guide you. Let me just wrap this whole thing up. I want you guys to know, I bet you didn't know this. What percentage of the people...
Is this number nuts?
No, this is not number nuts.
I'm just making sure. Jack, get ready though.
I want to ask my tax pros in this room. What percentage of Beth cheated. What percentage of the people in America use outside help to prepare the taxes according to the IRS?
I have no idea, so I'm not even going to take a guess.
25%.
I was just going to say about
60% of the people in America use some sort of tax preparer to help them with their returns. Okay. So this was a great talk. Stick around. We're going to now challenge you on a completely different topic. It's called Number Nuts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And you guys are all entitled to give me your answers.
Now, what is this now?
Okay, we're back. We're going to ask questions today. The Number Nuts segment is all about personal bankruptcy.
Jack, scoreboard.
Jack, keep score for all of us.
Did you erase it?
I don't have a scoreboard, but I know that the house won last time.
He remembers that.
Yeah.
Is the house you, Jack, or is the house me?
No, that's you.
That's all you.
Oh, that's me. I'm the smartest person in the room right now. Okay, so we're talking about personal bankruptcy. Anybody know anything about personal bankruptcy in this room?
Tons. I've done it twice.
My dad declared bankruptcy.
Oh,
I know that.
There you go. Now, today, you're going to find out everything you need to know about bankruptcy. Personal bankruptcy. Remember that. Okay. So, my first question is... I'm going to give you three choices. What chapter bankruptcy is not personal bankruptcy? Chapter 7, Chapter 13, or Chapter 26?
26.
She doesn't know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, the answer is 26. No, I don't know Chapter 26. 7 and 13 are personal bankruptcies, okay? So now you have to. Now we're talking Chapter 7 and Chapter 13, okay?
What about Chapter 11?
Chapter 11 is corporate bankruptcies. Okay. So now, are you a candidate for a Chapter 7 or Chapter 11 if you have little income?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Oh, wait. I forgot the
question.
Are
you a candidate for... does it make sense for you to file bankruptcy if you have just a little bit of income?
Yes.
Yes? The answer is no. If you don't have a little bit of income, it's going to cost you more to do
it. How do we know what their assets are? Maybe he used to be rich and now he's
little
poor.
Little income and no assets. I'll put those two together.
You should have.
I'm sorry. Little income and no assets. No. Are you a good candidate for...
No, of course not.
So, Laura, don't be answering your phone while we're live streaming on the radio.
I wanted to make sure it was shut off.
Unless she was going to the internet.
We're 25 minutes in here, and she's checking to make sure her phone is off.
All right.
It's off.
Okay. There are rules about how often you can file bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy. So I want to know, if you filed bankruptcy 4 years ago, can you file bankruptcy again?
No.
No.
No. No. If you filed bankruptcy 6 years ago, can you file bankruptcy again?
No.
No.
Yes.
It's 7, isn't it?
If you filed bankruptcy 10 years ago, can you file again?
Yes.
Good. The answer is between 2 and 8 years, you can't refile for bankruptcy. Jack, I think you got a Yeah. One wrong there.
Okay. I blew it.
All right. Can you discharge in bankruptcy?
This is a pressing topic. Can I just say this?
Okay. Well, it's reality.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I know, right?
Can you discharge student loans?
No.
Not generally.
No.
I wish.
Not federally subsidized loans.
No. That's right. Can you discharge child support?
Yes.
No.
No.
Oh, Jack.
Jack, you're cold-blooded, dude.
No.
Man.
Wow, Jack.
Ooh,
you got kidnapped.
Bad answer, Jack.
I was raised on child support my whole life.
Yeah.
Can you discharge recent year's taxes? If you have a tax return that you filed and you owe $10,000 from last year, can you discharge that this year?
I would say no.
See,
no.
Why not?
Yes.
The answer is no.
Damn it.
No.
Nope. Okay. You transferred money and assets and property to someone else within the past 4 years.
Take it back.
Can you discharge that? Can they come after you for those assets?
Yes.
Good answer. Boy, did I make that one easy.
You make every. This is. I don't want anyone to talk about. Can we talk about something else?
I got just a few. No, bankruptcy is reality. Okay, there's a lot of people out there that this information could help. You know, they're on the verge. They're on the brink here.
And they made it harder recently to file bankruptcy than it was in the past.
Okay, let's see. Credit cards. Can you discharge credit card bills in bankruptcy?
Yes. That's what it's made for.
Okay, well, that's one of the things it's made for. But now suppose that you ran up the credit card last month and you bought fish tanks and you went on a vacation.
No.
How do they decide which stuff you can bankrupt and which ones you can't?
Isn't there a lawyer? Isn't there a tribunal or something that decides these things?
Well, you have to list all your debts. So the point is, you can't.
Aren't those assets that they were recover?
No, those aren't a fish tank and a vacation.
Well, a fish tank can be pretty expensive.
Come on, and a vacation.
One of those saltwater joints. Those things like 10 gallon or so. I don't know.
So the answer is, if you made cash advances of over $750 in the 70 preceding days,
cash advances. That's just taking money out.
Or luxury purchases made of more than $500 during the previous 90 days, not dischargeable. So because there were people who ran up credit card debt
because they knew they were going to do
this. They were going to bankrupt, and then they ran this up, and then. It was just outrageous, you know. Okay, my final bankruptcy question. You're going to be happy this is the last one?
I don't know. What's the question?
If you co-signed a loan with somebody, are you on the hook for the bankruptcy if they go bankrupt?
Yes, you're on the hook for the loan. You co-signed the loan. Your name is on that loan.
So if I go bankrupt and...
I have to cover your loan.
I have to cover.
That's right.
I would say, yeah.
So the
that's what a co-signer's for.
Well, in bankruptcy, there are new rules, okay? So that's the answer to bankruptcy. Hopefully nobody around here on any of my lists don't have to do bankruptcy, but it's the real deal. So what can I say?
So I got 4 right, Andrew got 6, and Laura obliterated everybody with 8.
Oh, wow.
Wow, Laura knows the bankruptcy code. I know who to call when I have a client.
I'm a teacher.
Look, we got applause for you. I'm a teacher. That's
impressive. Oh, very good. You're a teacher and your students need to know about bankruptcy?
I think you should know about everything.
I teach tax, but I also teach a variety of other business subjects, and bankruptcy comes up.
If you're involved in this, it should have some
I think that Laura should get a prize.
For what?
Should we give her a star on her paper today?
What are you talking about? Stop.
Bravo,
just stop.
Laura.
This is awkward. I think we should go.
Well, Laura will get a free bottle of wine.
There we go.
Laura!
Now that is a prize I would like.
See? It pays to ask for prizes.
I think we should give all our guests a prize for coming out here.
That's from the Barter House.
There you go, Bart.
www.thebarterhouse.com.
Nice plug, Jack.
Yeah, very good. So I want to thank Professor Farrell for coming out to the Badlands of Bushwick, Brooklyn today. I want to thank her personal assistant and our beloved...
Are you really her personal assistant or is this like a joke?
No, it's a joke.
And Beth...
Like, you should know these things. She could be.
Beth is a very impressive hairdresser. She knows more about taxes than a lot of people who do taxes, believe me. And I want to thank everybody for listening, tuning in, and tune in next week as we got a new show coming.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.